for practical application and for the edification of the body of Christ. Give me the grace and wisdom to divide thy word and make us not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We commit our Bible study to your touch of blessing. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we have been studying the various aspects of the doctrine of spiritual gifts, understanding spiritual gifts. Today, our first slide talks about the purpose of spiritual gifts. Basically, almost in every slide or in every Sunday in our study, I have emphasized this, and we have seen it throughout our study from the scripture, that spiritual gifts are given for a special purpose. That is not for self-edification. It is not for self-enjoyment. It is for the building up of the body of Christ. That is a divinely designed method which the Holy Spirit uses to build up the body of Christ. We are many, and many members have been given different spiritual gifts, and pooling all our resources through spiritual gifts together with wisdom and with knowledge and appropriately, carefully, with discernment and with prayer, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we are able to encourage and to edify the body of Christ in many, many different ways, in different areas of our need, in the area of comfort and consolation, doctrinal understanding, in wisdom and knowledge, in the Word of God, and encouragement in the area of exhortation, in the area of giving, in the area of faith, in the area of showing mercy. In different ways, we are able to help one another. So we will look at a very important verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. In most of the verses or passages where we read about spiritual gifts, we also read about the purpose of spiritual gifts. And one of the central passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 7, we read, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one." That is also a very important phrase occurring in all the passages. Each one, each and every believer is gifted with at least one spiritual gift, sometimes more than one, and given to each one for, that is the purpose, there is a definite purpose for it, for the profit of all, or in as in some translation, for the common good. So the common good, it is not for my good or the good of someone else, but it is for the profit of all, for the blessing of the gathered body of Christ. So the profit of all is, so it is for the common good. So there is a very practical principle here we must bear in mind. When we exercise our spiritual gift, we should always remember that it should be for the benefit of the body of Christ, that it should bless others. So maybe the way we present it in relation to time and you know, the grace with which we share or speak, or the way we do things, it should be for the blessing of everyone, what is beneficial for all. Now, another important verse which we should definitely look at, which is a very familiar verse, is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, especially 12, but I will start reading from verse 11. Verse 11 talks about specific gifted men whom God has given to the church. This is a unique passage because in every other mention of spiritual gifts, we read about the gifts that are given. But Ephesians 4:11, we read about the gifted men that are given to the assembly. Okay, that's a very important observation. Every other passage on spiritual gifts talks about the spiritual gifts which God has given. Here, it is not only the gifts, it is the gifts plus the gifted men which God has given to the church. In the context here is the universal church. And he, verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, the foundational gifts, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers in the superstructure of the church. Apostles and prophets no more in the foundation. But in the superstructure, evangelists, pastors, shepherds, and teachers. Now, these gifts are given through these gifted men to the body of Christ. So these can be considered more like a leadership gifts or equipping gifts or leading gifts, because these men have more responsibility in relation to the body of Christ. And verse 12, the purpose, why these special gifts are given to the church. There is a definite purpose. And verse 4 in the Greek text is the purpose clause. So it is legitimate to translate it as for the purpose of. That is how I always read it, you know, because that is what the sense. For the purpose of. What is the purpose these gifts are given? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these equipers, the leaders, the pastors, the shepherds, the evangelists, their primary responsibility is to equip the body of Christ through teaching, through the word of exhortation, through proper counseling. They are equipped. They are, in some translation, probably prepared. So they are prepared. They are strengthened or they are trained. Okay, so they are trained, strengthened, and equipped through these special gifts so that the whole body will be trained and equipped and strengthened to do the work of service. So they will be an equipped body. So equippers equip the body to effectively serve the Lord. And the body should be willing to be equipped. That is why for the last many years, more than 10, 12, 13 years, I have been more burdened about this area of ministry, which I have seen that in many places, it's a neglected ministry. That is the training and equipping of the body of Christ in relation to various ministries. Whether it is in relation to evangelism or pastoral care or shepherding or teaching or leading in various areas of ministry, people need to be trained, equipped. In many other denominations, they have a mechanism, they have a system, because they only bring in trained people. You know, since we don't have that system, this is more applicable. If you realistically think, people don't want to talk about it because that gets on the nerves of some people in the assembly. So they shy away from such things. But we have to be honest and truthful to what this verse is exactly teaching. That is, the leaders are to equip the people of God in the body of Christ so that the body of Christ should be equipped and trained, strengthened, well taught, and edified. Then verse 13, that process should continue till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the body should mature into the fullness of Christ. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 is one sentence in the Greek text. In the same way, in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16 is also one sentence. That is, you know, no, in the original text, no punctuation, nothing, no words division, nothing. It is words and, you know, powerful vocabulary and truths are piled upon one another. And the writer, Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, seems to get excited about this tremendous truth, and without any bell and break, he is just going, you know, pouring out what the Spirit of God has given to him to write about the maturity of the body of Christ. So the maturity of the body of Christ is accomplished through equipage whom God has placed in the church, and through their ministry, the body is equipped so that they may be active in the service of Christ, to do it in the best way possible, and they may be equipped to do the work of service. In many denominations, it is the pastors, they do everything. But the word of God tells the pastors and teachers and evangelists are there not to do everything. They equip others so that the body should be involved in the work of God. That is why we don't have a distinction between laity and clergy, because the word of God does not encourage that. The work of ministry service is the work of the whole body of Christ. But at the same time, to equip the believers, but sometimes we take it to the other extreme. To equip the body of Christ to do that, God has placed certain leadership gifts also in the church, which also must be recognized and appreciated and made use of. Then only this ministry will happen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, another important verse in relation to, we are looking at the purpose. The purpose, common good, profit of all, for the benefit of all. Then in Ephesians, we found they are for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ministry means not word ministry as such. Ministry means service. Okay, so the body is built up and edified to serve the Lord. That is another purpose. Then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we read about spiritual gifts in a nutshell, just like a summary statement. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as each one, see again, each one has received a gift, minister, serve it to one another. So it is for the sake of one another. It is to encourage and to edify one another, to build up one another. And the self-edification, like in the charismatic Pentecostal churches, that is not the purpose of spiritual gifts. But when we faithfully exercise spiritual gifts, we are also, the person exercising it also is blessed and edified. So each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. It is also a part of our stewardship, that when you faithfully and honorably submitting to the Holy Spirit and responsibly exercise your giftedness for the glory of God, with the grace of God, depending upon the Spirit of God, others are blessed by your attitude, by your actions, and by your words. So if it is a deed ministry, people are blessed by that. If it is a speaking, oral ministry, people are blessed by that. If it is a formal ministry from here, people are blessed by that. If it is a personal, informal ministry, which you personally do, others also are blessed by that. Because you are exercising your God-given ability to serve the body of Christ with that awareness, with that prayer, with that knowledge, and with that understanding, and also being submissive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So these truths are applicable for brothers and sisters and young and old, boys and girls, everyone who is a part of the assembly of God. especially in the local context of the church, this is a vital truth. And we must be aware of it, and we must pray that the Lord may give us opportunity to sharpen the abilities which God has given to us. See, we read about being good stewards. That means if the Lord has given me certain gifts, and of course he has given me and you, we should take the time to develop it, to exercise it, to know more about it, to sharpen our skill. That is why Paul told Timothy that you must fan into flame, rekindle afresh the spiritual gift which God has given to you. Nobody can give you the spiritual gift except God. But it is, read here, that is 1 Peter 4:10, as good stewards. What does that mean? I must do business with it. I must use it. I must know about it more. I must see what the scripture tells about my spiritual gifts, what are the guidelines and parameters, and whichever way I can, you know, fortify, strengthen that gift by my own commitment and diligence and study and studiousness and dedication and commitment. That is how I'm a faithful steward. And I help one another. So, the purpose of spiritual gifts is very, very important. That is for the serving the family of God, enhance the body of Christ, and help the church mature and move forward. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16, one sentence, you read it. You know, it all the words of maturity and stature and fullness and perfection is repeated and repeated. And that is the purpose of the body of purpose of spiritual gifts. Now, the list of spiritual gifts. There are five lists of spiritual gifts. Studying about spiritual gifts, we must know where we can find these lists mentioned. Now, in Romans 12, 3 to 8, seven spiritual gifts are mentioned. So we will just quickly read that passage. Romans 12, even if we don't get time to describe every gift, it is good to know where these gifts are mentioned. I call them central passages. These are the central passages we should know and study in relation to spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, the whole passage is from 3 to 8, but beginning in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So here begins the list. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, number two, the second gift mentioned here, or service, let us use it in our serving, ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads, leadership gift, leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, so that is one gift. Now, the second list of gifts, shall we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has two lists. And in 1 Corinthians 12, some of these spiritual gifts are the miraculous gifts, because these gifts were in operation during the apostolic times. So, and the Corinthians took pride in their ecstatic utterance, in the gift of tongues and all. That is why the Corinthian epistle has more to say about the sign gifts or the miraculous gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. The chapter beginning in verse 4 to 11, but the numbering listing begins in verse 10. Verse 9. No, actually, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, the gift of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings. See the plural expression, gifts of healings. That means the God-given ability that were given to the apostles to heal any kind of disease instantaneously. Not just one kind of sickness, you know, any kind, be instantaneously. That is why the plural expression, gifts of healings by the Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. That is more than healing, the ability to perform other miracles too. For example, when Ananias and Sapphira, when they told a lie in the church, Apostle Peter, when he uttered a word, both of them fell dead. You know, so that is the working of the word literally means the working of the energies, the power of God. So it is more than just miracles. It is more than healing, working of miracles. In Acts chapter 13, we read about Paul, you know, inflicting the sorcerer Elymas with the blindness. The miraculous gifts, sign gifts. So then to another prophecy, that is the ability to receive direct revelation from God and to present that revelation to the people of God, which was a very important gift during those times when the word of God was not completely written. The New Testament was not completed. The New Testament canon was not completed, was not closed. So how did they know about the truth of God's word in the assembly of God's people when they gather together? Today we read 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, refer there. You have everything. But they didn't have that luxury in those days. So when they came together, those who had the gift of prophecy, they would get up and utter the word through the prophetic revelation, the doctrine and the practical guidance and the wisdom and the knowledge that were needed to the assembly in those days. So that is why we believe those were temporary foundational gifts. Once the word of God, the canon is completed and closed, there is no need for such fresh revelation today. So the prophecy here means the prophetic revelation of truth directly communicated to the prophets. Now, like some would also say that it also has the idea of forth telling, proclaiming the word of God. That also is included. So some would say, like John MacArthur and all would argue that there is the gift of prophecy in that sense today. That is, not in the sense of directly revealed revelation from God, but many evangelical scholars would say it would also include the proclamation of the word of God. The proclamation of the word of God. Not the foretelling, not predictive prophecy, not the direct revelation of God's word, but the foretelling, declaration of God's word is also a part of prophecy. But in my understanding, the predominant meaning of prophecy in the New Testament is revelatory prophecy. That is, the direct revelation of the truth of God's word during the times in which the word of God was not completed. So they directly revealed, and it may definitely include the foretelling aspect as we exercise it today. Discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. See, most of the things mentioned here are miraculous gifts. The gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, some would say, we do not exactly know what that means. Probably the gift of knowledge and wisdom may mean the ability to understand the word of God practically and doctrinally in a very clear manner with better clarity. But I don't think that is what the real meaning in the context. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so we already looked at, you know, the miraculous aspect of the direct revelation of the word of God, and understand all mysteries and knowledge. So Paul associates knowledge with the gift of prophecy. So that is my personal understanding. That is, he understands the word of wisdom and knowledge with the gift of prophecy. That means the supernatural revelation of the truths of the knowledge of God, something associated with the gift of prophecy. It is, I believe it is in that sense. But if you are not convinced, as many people would say, okay, it has that application, but today it may also be related to the gift of knowledge which the Lord gives to us to understand the word of God in a better way, maybe, you know. But I believe the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom seems to be in the list of the miraculous gifts. Another proof for that is, look at the last part of verse 10. Different kinds of tongues, that is the ability to speak in a language which you have not learned, and the ability to understand that language and to interpret it for the edification of the body of Christ. See, the whole verse 10 is talking about miraculous gifts. So in the context, that is why I am more inclined to think that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, all associated with the special miraculous gifts that were present during those days, especially to apostles and prophets. And then another one here in middle of verse 10, discerning of spirits. See, so that's why I think in the text we find this as a group of miraculous gifts. Now, the gift of discernment, in one sense we can say, okay, it is good to have the gift of discernment, right? Some of us may be able to discern truth from error in a better way. You know, if somebody talks to you error for 1 hour, some may not really understand and discern. But another person with the one sentence, you know, coming from the mouth of another person, he knows that this is not right. This is not truth. You know, don't listen to him. That can be the gift of discernment. There is a possibility. But here, I believe it is again probably related to more of a miraculous gift. And that may be the reason that, you know, in the early church, they did not have the word of God completed, the complete word of God. So what was the measure of truth? How will you know if somebody say some error there? You know, today we can say that is not what Romans 6:14 tells. But they don't have a Romans 6:14 in those days. So what will they do? The person with the gift of discernment will be able to discern what was uttered or propagated or taught were right or wrong. I believe it is in that context the gift of discernment is more valid. Even though today, you know, like gift of knowledge and wisdom and discernment to some extent, if it is here, if I have that or you have that, we praise God. But I believe this is more related to the grouping of the miraculous gifts. Because that is the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. This verse, the whole verse is talking about miraculous gifts. Now, the second list of gifts. Then 1 Corinthians 12, 11, how the passage closes. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he will. So who decides who should get these gifts? It's God alone. he sovereignly bestows these gifts. Now, the second gift, so 1 Corinthians 12 has two gifts, two list of gifts. The second gifts list begins from verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. And the numerical order, first, second, third, probably in relation to its prominence and its importance in the body of Christ. And God has appointed these in the church. So it is specifically mentioned that these gifts are specially appointed in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations. Administrations is government, you know. And in some translations, gift of government. And that is related to Romans chapter 12. We read about the gift of he who leads. Here, he who is in the administration, more related to the leadership gift. So elders usually may be blessed with these gifts of administration, government, and leading. And many others who are not elders or in leadership positions, including sisters, also can have this gift of leadership, but they will be exercising it in their own sphere of ministry. They are not leading the church as pastors and elders, but they are able and free, and they have been appointed by the Lord to exercise their spiritual gift of leadership in the particular ministries in which that is suitable for them. So the two leadership gifts are mentioned in these lists. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is gift of governments, administrations. And it's a good to have a good study of that word sometime. And the other one is the gift of leading. The literal word means one who stands before others. And then gifts of healings helps the ability to help one another. Administrations, varieties of tongues. It's interesting here, Paul may be purposely, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the listings, he put the tongues at the very end because it was the gift in which the Corinthians took great pride. So in the listing everywhere, you know, he, according to their order, it was always the gift of tongues. The ostentatious, ecstatic, miraculous gifts were number one to them. But Paul said, wait a minute. In the assembly, God has appointed these first apostles. Number two, prophets. Number two, teachers. So the first preference is the word of God. Now, if you look at these lists, in all these three lists, also in the Ephesian list, the only gift that is mentioned and repeated in all the lists is the gift of teaching. Why is that? The importance the Holy Spirit places on the honor and glory of his word. You know, that is the practical application of that truth. To God, the most important treasure which he has given to his church is his holy word. That is why in all the gifts, see, if you look at the next one, Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, we already looked. We will briefly look 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we have looked at it, but I wanted to point out something more from there before we close 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, see, again, each one has received a gift, serve it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, this is a short list, just a summary statement. So, Peter is making all the gifts without describing them and listing them into two groupings. All the gifts, like if you look at all these gifts, 20 gifts are mentioned in these lists by name in these five lists. 20 gifts. But Peter does not elaborate and list them, but he puts them under two broad categories. What are they? Verse 11, if anyone speaks, speaking gifts, like teaching and exhortation, things like that. And if anyone serves, serving gifts, showing mercy, helps, administration, leading, all those. So two broad categories. All spiritual gifts, Peter puts that into two categories. One, speaking, and one, serving. And that is how God has equipped his church, because we need both. All of us cannot speak or teach, or all of us are not called to communicate the word of God effectively, but some are called in a different role and responsibility to serve. So both these gifts together builds up the body of Christ. That's a wonderful truth. You know, speaking gifts and serving gifts. That is how we can categorize these gifts. But in all these lifts, you know, in all the major lifts, the only gift that is mentioned is teaching, which we find in all the gifts. Some gifts are speaking, some gifts are serving, some gifts are sign gifts, that is miracles and tongues. They were sign pointing to some very important truth. That is, in the beginning of the gospel dispensation, the sign gifts, the miraculous gifts, were used to authenticate, to validate the apostles and their gospel preaching, for the confirmation. So the miracles and signs were sign pointing to something. What is that? This is a divine message. This is God's way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The apostles are the ambassadors who are sent by God as the foundational structure, in the foundational structure of the church. Listen to them. They are my servants. What they are proclaiming is my word. This is the word of salvation. No other word. No other message. So in order to authenticate, validate that brand new message and the messengers, these special sign gifts, which we can call foundational gifts, miraculous gifts, were also given in those days. But we are in the superstructure, so we may not see the sign gifts, because the validation is over, confirmation is over, attestation is over. It is well established on the foundations of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone and the completed canon of the word of God. Confirmation age is over. So we don't need miraculous gifts to confirm the word of God or the gospel. But God is able to perform miracles anytime he wants, in any way he likes to, according to his sovereign will. That is a different matter. But no more gifted men to perform these miracles to validate the gospel message. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the amazing truth of the Word of God, especially as we have been studying spiritual gifts. And we pray that what we have studied and learned and gleaned from the pages of the Holy Scriptures, that we may be careful and we may be diligent to practice that in our day-to-day life personally and also collectively as an assembly. We know that we have shied away from emphasizing certain truths, and we pray that thou may give us more enlightenment and wisdom where we have failed, so that we can recover those precious truths and practice it for the edification of the body of Christ. Pray that thou may bless the ministry of each and every one of us, and bless the ministry of ELBC collectively. Bless us with all the spiritual gifts, and pray that we may use it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Send us now with your blessing, protection, and benediction. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly host, praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost.